Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Well, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh, boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
This is the Super Footy Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Round 20 Super Footy Podcast for TAB. Who are you backing? Now, Mark Robinson and John Anderson, I've got one question for you. Who was just singing?
That would have been...
Mark? No, I'm going to Ando.
John Lennon and the... Place to Go No Bad.
Too good. Place to Go No Bad.
Hey, I'm just reading this off the Google where I'm looking at it. That was Yoko Ono, John Lennon's wife.
Was it really?
Power of the people, Mark.
Power of the people.
You're riding this wave with Patrick Cripps.
No, I'm not riding the wave. I'm starting to write about the wave. And it's been slowly gathering momentum, I think. What happens is every player has to be put up in the media at some stage. Mm. And over the last couple of weeks, people, how's David Teague? How's David
Teague? Well, they say the same things.
And they're saying the same thing. Just starting to get down to the nitty-gritty and... It's quite amazing that Patrick Cripps, the Carlton captain, was interviewed by Hamish McLachlan on Channel 7.
His language was different, was it?
Yeah, well, he goes, mate, the Teague 2020 slogan.
That's,
you know, I'm on it.
Raised eyebrows.
Where are we got a captain, and today a photo of Sam Doherty, the other co-captain, has come into my social media on life, and he's holding up a sign. You know, Teague 2020. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. We've got the co-captains here publicly campaigning for David Teague when it leaked out over the weekend, Ando, that allegedly Michael Voss was favourite for the Carlton
That
job.
Came from Cameron Ling, who's not someone who normally puts his name to silly rumours. So I would take that as very good mail from Cameron Ling. And I would agree with Cameron Ling that when he said that, which was on Sunday.
It was Sunday about 2:05.
Yeah, so it was pre-game. Michael Voss was still a warm favourite for the Carlton job.
Have you got any information on that, or are you just someone has murmured to you in a pub or somewhere?
Did a bloke who knows a bloke tell another bloke who told me? Yeah. No, Rob, I'm quite happy with that Michael Voss... And I would still say that now, that he remains the firm favourite.
So
for
what do you think now? You've been around a lot longer than me. Not, I'll take that back, John. You've been around longer than me. It's almost becoming unprecedented in Melbourne, I think, this push for David Teague, or push for a coach from the players and the fans.
You watched that game, and previously the three of us who love watching footy would have sat there, and West Coast were going to dominate the game. They were going to win by 8 to 9 goals. And we probably would have turned off and done something else before the next game came on. But this was different. You never quite knew. It was an exciting game to watch because of the brand of footy Carlton plays, because they take the ball so much more into the corridor than they did previously under Brendan Bolton's coaching style. And so it's always alive. And to get beaten by just 4 goals, it wasn't a win, I know, but I tell you what, it didn't do his stocks any.
No, don't sell yourself short there. The people of Carlton, they were as happy with that result as they were with the victory.
Well, that's a new Carlton. That hasn't been the Carlton we've known
because
for the last 5 years.
They would have put up the white flag previously and got beaten by 10, 12 goals.
That's conservative.
This David Teague push now, in my time in football, and that just happened in Sydney. They just the Swans fans wanted Paul Roos, 2002. Terry Wells allegedly, I don't know why I say allegedly.
Allegedly,
we've got to put that in, I think, legally.
Allegedly got paid some money.
Allegedly had the job. And then Roosie got it. The players wanted him. And I spoke to Richard Collis, the former Swans president, and he was there at the time when he appointed Paul Roos. And he could remember all these Swans fans turning up to meetings and training with placards with "Choose Roos."
Wow.
And he was saying yesterday that he would imagine at the time Sydney was not a badly sized club, but the powerhouse of a Carlton in Melbourne. He's very, very interested with the power of the people.
There's some old school people in footy who will say, well, hang on, you can't let the inmates run the asylum. So, yeah, the players, of course, they're going to feel refreshed and they've won a few games. They're going to love the new guy. What do you say to that? I say you don't have to sign him till the end of the year. That's the first thing they should be doing. It looks like we're not going to get an announcement in the next 3 weeks. They're going to go through to the end of the year.
Well, he hasn't even been interviewed yet, David.
Nor should he. Won't be until after the season.
Nor should he. He's got enough on his plate. That's a smart move. So North jumped, or whatever you want to call it, they said...
Well, they believe they knew.
Exactly. So good on them. They did it. But at Carlton, it seems like they're going to go through the process, inverted commas.
Well, Michael Voss, my understanding, he's only had the one interview.
Yeah.
He flew over. And tell you what, it has been misreported here, that Vossie took a day off footy training and flew to Melbourne. That's not true at all. Michael Voss actually took training that day and then flew over.
That's
after.
Funny, it's not that far away on a plane.
And flew over after training, which is, what, an hour. I don't know if everything's perfect at Port Adelaide, just to go off on the tangent. I don't know if Vossie was real keen on... David Cotchie's comments at the time. But, he's in it, Michael Voss. Well, but as I said, I'm more interested in this groundswell. Well, you broke the story last week, Scotty.
I did.
Of Chris Judd, the football director, going for lunch.
Fancy Japanese city restaurant.
With?
Patrick Cripps and Mark Murphy. What do you think they're talking about? Not the weather. So Judd would have clearly held court and listened, and they would have sent that message.
When did Chris Judd make his trainer wheels comment? Was it 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was a little bit.
I told him 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. He's going to be left with some egg or humble pie on his face.
It's not Juddy's go normally.
No.
They've tried to correct that.
Yeah, but that didn't work.
By explaining to everyone that they didn't mean that.
What did he mean?
I don't know.
What a rubbish.
If you put Voss and Teague next to each other, coaching-wise, Teague's experience is significant. And Vossie, to his credit, has gone back and got that. But Teague stacks up.
When Teague was in Adelaide, just a few years ago now, I remember getting a tip from someone. And there's always a young coach that you'll get your coat pulled. And so this bloke's got it. He's going to be the next big thing. And Teague was that person. I remember speaking to the Coaches Association 3 years ago and said, would David Teague be a chance? They said, look, he probably needs a bit more time yet. Maybe David Teague's had that time yet.
He's 38 years of age. He was on 360 on Monday night.
Impressive, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. We had an ad break, and I had Reece Shaw on as well. So we went to the ad break and we're just chewing the fat. And I said, have you guys ever done a PowerPoint presentation for a job interview? And if you have, now that you've been coaching for 8, 9, whatever weeks you've been coaching, how important is the PowerPoint presentation compared to actually sitting in the role?
But Robert, whoever knows from an interview who's guaranteed that person is going. And Jason Dunstall could argue that he does with Alistair Clarkson in 2004. He had three other interviews and he said he was so far ahead of the others. And I take Jason
on football vision, and where I can't think that the game was in a lull, but there was terrific change, wasn't there, after Alistair Clarkson came into the job, and there was terrific change in football. The pressure went up, et cetera, et cetera. And Clarkson was able to tell and convince Jason Dunstall in his interview that he had not met a person who spoke about the way the game should be played like Clarkson.
Yeah, but some really clever football people have appointed some real duds as coaches.
Oh,
it's just the fact of life.
No, there's
dozens of them.
You just don't know. And with David Teague, you've seen and seems believing. You look at this bloke and say, and he never once loses it. He's never once gone over the top, either way, in terms of being overly happy after a win, which I think you like in a coach, that he's just kept remained in control.
He lost it once.
When did he lose
He's lost it in his first game. He revealed this last night. He lost it in his first game as coach, like the big build-up, and he finally gets up to the box and he sits down and...
No salad roll to it.
No, they let a corporate in.
Oh yes,
into the box.
Funny story, yeah.
And he was talking too much, and David turned around and he said his name. I can't remember. I'll make
Jimmy.
It up. Jimmy, stop talking. It's the only time he's really been angry in the box. You know, Endo. So who does know coaching? So who knows? So people on the panel right now at Carlton are Mark Ligutice, Chris Judd, Kane Little, and Brad Lloyd. They're the four on. Clearly, Robert Walls will be part of that. He'll have some input. They'll ask him questions. So those four. What does Mark know? Judd is a player, great player. Kane Little, CEO for a year and a half, and Brad Lloyd, a player, and has been around football.
You got to do your due diligence.
What does that mean? Gut feel.
So you're sitting around, you've got gut feel. We all have gut feel. You either think like the guy instantly or he says something that ticks a bell. But then you got to go and talk to people around him. You got to do your... I think a lot of boards, they just don't do the research.
Right.
I'm not talking about psych tests and all that. You can have that. Talk to people who know Teague, who dealt with Teague. You could ring a dozen players. Dangerfield under Adelaide. Like, there's various other people you could find.
That happened at North Melbourne. North Melbourne have been accused of doing a pretty flimsy
process. They rang anyone who had to do with Shaw. Good on them.
No. They rang, my understanding, they had 30 on the list. They made inquiries for the three senior blokes.
Yeah.
And then they rang associates of the other 27. It took them 5 weeks. And they spoke to people involved with 27 names on their list, which was whittled down to four. And of those four, the club spoke to all four of them, but only one of them got...
Official interview.
Official interview, which was reassuring, and he got the job. So for 5 weeks, they spoke to associates of 27 people.
Say Reshaw hadn't coached Carlton, so he was unknown, the same as David Teague before he got the job. If, in that situation, would you then have looked at Reshaw and said, this guy is going to be a great senior coach? Well, you wouldn't know.
The thing that they go on there, that Reshaw had previously won the two best assistant
and
coaches.
He was looked upon as someone who was a rising
doubt.
So how do you win that award? Seriously.
Oh, because what happens? This is really interesting.
Isn't Sydney going to say, oh, he's the best, and how's everyone else going to know?
No, it's really interesting. All the coaches fill out a...
So an opposition coach
All coaches them. Fill out at least a ranking.
How do they know that Reshaw's going beautifully at a different club?
I do not know.
It's fascinating.
It's something I'm going to ring Mark Brayshaw, the Coaches Association boss, before maybe he leaves for North Melbourne.
Okay, before we leave this topic, Scotty, who coaches Carlton next year?
I'm on the Teague bandwagon. And I only say this because I'm a gut feel man, and I covered the Adelaide game. And in the rooms after it, the euphoria, I was watching the Judas show. It just smelt. Or look like a place where this bloke's going to come.
And you love Katandra because you did a story on it the other day.
I'm now
Robert, you're a Teague man?
No, I don't know David Teague very well at all. What I am a man of is a person who gets responses from a broken football team.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the happiness that it brings the players and the fans. We all know Carlton fans, mate.
A broken football team that's suddenly an extremely attractive prospect to coach next year when they add Stephen Cornelio and Tom Papley to their list.
You confident on Cornelio?
More confident on Cornelio going to Carlton than being anywhere else.
Yeah, I agree
Including GWS.
Oh, really? Well, my mail is he still hasn't legitimately made the call.
I'm not saying he has, but I'm more confident that he will go to Carlton than be anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm more confident he'll be a GWS than anywhere
what
else.
What type of paycheck will he put in his hand out for season one?
It depends on how long he signs for, Scotty. If he signed for 5 years...
Well, it has to be at least five.
Yeah, but that would determine, like, if it's a four-year deal or a six-year deal, that would change what he gets.
What's he worth to
move? Who will coach Carlton next year, John?
Michael Voss.
Teague Voss.
Okay. I don't know about St Kilda.
Oh, yeah, now let's go through them.
So St Kilda...
Well, the Rats sort of, hasn't derailed, but they're sort of a bit off-Broadway.
No, not derailed.
I didn't mean derailed.
There's a familiarity about Brett Ratton at the moment in coaching. I think he's a really safe, strong...
Is that what they...
Prospect.
Want? Brad Scott needs to put his hand up and say, I'm going through the process completely. Let's go.
He hasn't done that. He hasn't done that yet. I think they're going to ask him. I know they're going to ask him, actually. I hope so, because I wrote it last week. But they, I know they're going to ask him.
If you wrote it, it's going to happen.
What the interesting thing is there for Saints fans, if they do a process and all that they want to do, you know, and Brad Scott comes out on top.
Yeah, well, okay, we will believe it.
To announce Brad Scott as coach, I think that will be a political bomb. And I always think to myself, however long Brad's there, that it'll never be forgotten that or ever be sort of understood that he got the job on his own without it already.
But don't
sort
you
of
back yourself as a club and go...
They are backing themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
The
go, well, we're picking him. You can think he got it because of Lethlean. So the Carlton...
St Kilda can pick Brad Scott because it's opposition fans saying, right? St Kilda fans won't care as long as they get a good coach.
It starts improving.
So compare that to Carlton, right? We're, all Carlton fans are saying, we want tea, right? And the rest of us don't really care.
No.
It's a really differing fan base.
Have there ever been two twins who are perceived to be more alike than Brad and Chris Scott? Because when I speak to footy people, and that's our mates who are talking about footy, the Scots, it's always the same. No one denies that, but they put them in the same basket all the time. They're great talkers, very smart blokes.
Yeah, you never talk about one without the other.
No,
that's a good point.
They are totally, well, of course, they're joined at the they're identical. But
it's a good segue, Ando, into Chris and how his world is. It's a lot different to what it was not that long ago.
Robbo saw him last night, but on the outside, he's been very positive, as you'd hope he would be, Scott.
He always answers it. I know all that. But that football team, a couple of weeks ago, I think I said in here, it's just a road hump. They'll get over it. They'll gain momentum. I'm losing faith in my own observation.
Saturday night was significantly worse than any previous loss because it was a real fadeaway. I don't know what the final margin was. Say it was 5 goals. But there was no yelp.
So a team who had been ordinary and were very young. I know they're at home.
That was rare. Yeah. That was rare for Geelong to put up the flag.
Geelong's never looked as slow this year. Well, it was a side suddenly you brought in players.
Well, let's
Scott Selwood, Sam Menegola, who are good footballers, but they're not quick. Rocky Henderson came in because Harry Taylor didn't play.
Yeah, but look at who else they took. Dalhouse and O'Connor out. Small, like I kind of play small as fast, and went Menegola, who's not fast. Henderson, I know, but still not fast.
And Scotty Selwood was already in the side on the week before.
They've gone away from what was working.
It'll change.
Opinion.
I would think Narkel will play in the weekend.
Yeah, I saw some highlights of him.
He's had some really good
VFL
form.
One first
game. Yeah, but he would be
three?
At least. Yeah,
a lot of play 3 weeks.
I doubt they got
some issues, and they're all rolling into one. The slow ball movement sort of rolls into their poor clearance and poor contested work in the midfield. The midfield in their losses have been quite horrible, actually. And if you,
the ruck.
They don't know who their ruck is.
They're going to have
We have this question every year for the last 8 years.
It'll be Reece Stanley.
It has to be Reece Stanley.
Yeah, and Reece Stanley, he cannot play an entire season
at a
consistently high level.
Which is
true of many players, but he's again been dropped to the VFL role.
But it has been his best year.
He can't maintain the rage.
It's his best
and
8
so
weeks.
Hopefully he's been stung by this. It's so close to the finals.
So, Ando, do they bounce back? Beat North? Are we completely off the catch as we wrap up our Geelong section of this?
I'm not totally confident about beating North. I think right now, and then it's off to Brisbane and then Carlton at Geelong in the last round. No, I wouldn't declare anything with
Mark,
the Cats at the moment.
Are you confident? So you think so? They lose two. They lose two or three. Probably lose top place in second place in the ladder.
Yeah, I would think that would happen. Yeah, because Brisbane has Richmond plays West Coast, So that gives Geelong a bit of a buffer because one of those teams is going to lose, obviously.
And Richmond plays Brisbane, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Geelong plays Brisbane.
Yeah.
Fascinating. It's going to be fun. Now, there's a rule that I don't like in this game, and it's been an issue this week.
Hands in the back?
No.
Sliding rule?
No. Assistant coaches have to be told on August 1 what's happening with their lives.
Why don't you like it?
Well, to me, if you're in a, say you're Richmond or, we'll use Blake Carosella. They're a bad example because I don't think anything will rock the Richmond boat. But
say Geelong.
Or Geelong. What, they're just trying to get their ship in order and one or two assistants get told this week you're not part of it in 6 weeks' time. Why do you need to destabilise what you're trying to do? Where I know the coaches say, oh, they need to know in case they don't get a job. I don't like it.
Isn't their livelihood and their family's livelihood more important than that?
But why August 1?
To give them time to try and be placed
but
elsewhere.
If you're good enough, clubs know, and clubs are knocking on your door and tapping on the shoulder. That's how it works. Everyone knows and out.
So you're suggesting what's extended to September 1, the end of the home and away?
At least.
This is why there's a bit of a funny story out of Adelaide. They're laughing at some recent commentary that, not Adelaide, North Melbourne, about them going and get Brady Rawlings from the West Coast. And there's some media commentary saying, oh, how poor that was. I mean, it happens all the time.
Of course
it happens with every club. They ring up and say, are you interested? What are you supposed to do? Ring up the club? And if Triple M went after you to leave 3OW, does Triple M ring your bosses at 3OW and says, by the way, we're just about to talk to John Anderson?
No, I'd have no interest anyway, Rob, unless the money was right.
But my point is there's shuffling. So Blake Carosella is coming back to Essendon.
I highly
regarded.
And I think I wouldn't be surprised if it's a succession
plan for John Walsh.
Yeah, I think so. I think
it's
so.
Blake Carosella, I know footy intel, the word is very, very good.
Highly rated Geelong, clearly had an impact at Richmond.
Does he want to be a senior coach?
I think he had a dip a few years ago, actually, when Chris Scott, didn't go through the process, but he sort of had a trial run. They didn't announce publicly that he was doing it. So
I remember the time there were three, it got down to a list of three or four.
Yeah,
four.
He was the
Chris
mystery
Scott,
fourth.
Ken Hinckley, Bretton Sanderson, and I always wondered who the fourth was. He just answered my question. Scotty, thank you.
So he clearly, that was several years ago. Now he's been at Richmond. I think he ticks a lot of boxes, Mark.
Yeah, he does. I don't know Blake very well. He's a pretty quiet man.
He's considered.
Yeah, that's one way of putting quiet. He's pretty quiet. Has he got an outgoing personality? I'm not sure. But in today's age...
John Worsfold coaches that football team. Let's.
I had someone at our place the other night, a female friend. She's talking about, she said... You talk about coaches and their expressions when watching a particular game. So this one bloke, he doesn't ever smile. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't even speak. Mm. I can't think of it. I said, his name's John Walsh. Oh, that's him. Yeah, the bloke messing. And she was intrigued.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, he's impassive.
Yeah, we're all supporters. And footy's a passionate game. And the coaches get passionate. What controls John Worsfold's emotions inside that he doesn't show anything when everyone who's barracking for Essendon at that moment are throwing stuff at the TV or jumping up and down.
Remember the old heart monitor they used to put on coaches? It'd be great to put one on John Worsfold, wouldn't it?
He's an assassin. I can imagine him being just a cold-hearted assassin.
As a footballer.
Well, he was at a football, yeah.
He was, more so than any player I can ever think of, John Worsfold.
Didn't come from behind and not looking.
But he was brutal.
He was a killer, wasn't he?
I remember he and Gary Ablett Sr. meeting at Gardenia Park one day, and there was a full-on bump, and they just sort of bounced off each other. No one gave.
Flinched.
Yeah, and after the game, it was shake hands. They had great respect for each other.
But
Ablett spoke really well about
it. I think I told you last week, Andrew, I think John Worsfold really wants to be in the long haul for Essendon.
So that's a big turnaround in a small space of time.
Yeah, it is.
The attitude towards John.
Joey Danaher, Robert, how much difference does he make to Essendon if he was playing now?
He kicked 63 goals in 2017.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
I do a little thing called the top 50, and I had him at number 8.
As a key forward.
I had him at 508 at the end of the year.
As a key forward.
Yes.
What is his best position on the footy ground?
Centre forward.
Not full forward.
Can he play key back? Could he play centre half back?
No, I don't think he can.
Could he play on ball, not as a ruckman, but as a on baller?
He quite possibly. I'd be very worried about his defensive side of the game.
Roaming forward.
And Essendon have already got a midfielder who's he's got better with his defence, which is Jake Stringer.
Yep.
And well, they've been playing
not there
him
to
in
play
the midfield.
Defense, you just asked.
Maybe Joe could play a bit of midfield at times, but he's an important player. He's an important player. So there's a bit happening at Essendon this week. It's a really good get, Blake Carosella. Oh, and if he wants to coach, he's going to the club
where he'll get an opportunity.
Who will get an opportunity.
So Brendan McCartney, a good friend of all of ours. No shock that him and Melbourne are parting ways. We saw that coming a couple of months ago. Has become official.
Does that mean Brendan McCartney's lost to the game?
Oh, I'd say no, because he's got a lot of people in his corner, but do you keep bouncing around from club to club doing the same role, maybe? I mean, Gold Coast, it takes
it's worked,
a lot.
Hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Surely Gold Coast. I mean, Brendan McCartney, the Geelong bloke's got a, better than me. They just
worship
swear
him.
By him. A godlike figure in terms of his player development.
And what he did for them.
Well, why wouldn't he be looked at by the Gold Coast?
Because
there's
a different mindset with young people, Ando.
Yeah.
Someone told me, they know a few people at Melbourne, and the story goes something like this. Now, Brendan would be telling them to do something, and they'd go, hey, we know. No, you don't know.
Mm.
You had one preliminary final finish, and well done, but you don't know.
Yeah.
Do it this way. No, we get it. Right. We're fine.
Okay. So the rumour I heard that some of those players could be a little bit ahead of themselves is actually correct.
And we've discussed that before as well, Ando, so when I got told that story on the weekend, I said it all sort of forms into place.
Yeah, it
falls into place. I would think North Melbourne, the problem with Brendan, and you get those mixed reviews. Now, I know some clubs have looked at Brendan, and one club person asked me, and I said, you know what, he can rub people up the wrong way, but he gets results. What do you want? Do you want a person who gets results, or you want someone who might step on the toes of people who don't want to do hard work? I'd take Brendan McCartney in a heartbeat. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised if North Melbourne doesn't. You mentioned Gold Coast. I'd get him at Carlton.
The other one in the mix is Alan Richardson, who's already, he's back from his break.
Well, Gold Coast rang him within, I think, 36 hours after he...
Yeah, he's so well thought of, isn't he?
He's met GWS, so he's going to be
North
meeting...
North Melbourne again.
Where is Josh Jenkins next year?
He should be at Melbourne.
Playing as what?
Oh, well, he can only play as that.
200 metre small forward.
That's unfortunately what he is. You can't regenerate him into anything else. But when they were up and going, he's quite good at that role.
He won't be at Adelaide.
No, he won't be at Adelaide. That ship has sailed. But, like, if I'm Melbourne, like, Wiedemann, you can't trust. McDonald.
But, Scott, he doesn't play as a tall forward.
No, I know that. But they need options in a forward line. So, Bulldogs, no, they've got Norton. Who else needs a forward? I know exactly what you mean. You're not getting a power forward. You're getting a...
He's got to go for a team to maximise his skill set. Which is he needs a fast ball moving
correct
team and where
Marvel Stadium
he's smart, yeah. So he smarts where he gets out the back and because it's amazing he kicked 50 goals in consecutive years, and he played for a team who had all half forwards of different sizes, right? And they all succeeded because the ball was getting moved in quick, and they like the ball coming in quick because they can use their one on one skills and evasiveness and awareness of where the ball is going.
Yeah,
so. Pick that team.
No, I agree. Yeah. I think he's been hardly done by to a degree.
St Kilda?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if Paddy McCartney...
Doggies?
I'll tell you what, he'd be going...
Norton.
He'll be going at their price, not his. His price would have been Brisbane Lions 3 years ago when they had a really big crack at him. And that was talking $600,000, $700,000.
Yeah, he got a good wicket at
He got a fiver. Why? But again, he's not going to get in Aaron Norton's way. Norton is the key forward.
He's an absolute star.
And it's Josh Shaggy, not the long
term. He's getting better this year.
Did some really good things on Sunday.
There's been enough signs from Shaggy.
He's had a good year.
Yeah.
With Norton, I'd be quite excited by that.
No, that mix, I wouldn't say that to Josh.
I think he'll be in Victoria.
Yeah, no, that has to Josh. Be, definitely. What else is going to take your fancy this week, gentlemen? Jared Ruffhead, will he get a farewell game? The player power that we're very keen on is pushing it that way.
So they play in Melbourne in the second last round. because they're certainly away in the following round. So it would have to be that second last round. If their finals dream is over after this weekend, I think yes, he does. If their finals dream is still alive, there's no room for sentiment in Alistair Clarkson's life, so no, he doesn't. Simple as that.
Would Ruffy want one, a token one?
If his teammates made him. It's been a glorious career, hasn't it?
He deserves it, but I just mean...
Dermot Britton said something really interesting on the weekend. He said, at Hawthorn, we don't give games when your career finishes. You've played 220 or 35. You've earned those 35 games and you've earned those 220 games.
Yeah,
We don't give out games. Now, that was an old-time Hawthorn ruling. But, you know, sometimes someone comes along in life where the rules are bucked. And you say, you know what, Ruffy, go out and enjoy yourself one last time, mate. You might not be on this planet for a time. You're a champ. You know, I like sentiment in football, Ando. I really do. And I'm sure, I know you do as well, but I'm not sure that Alistair Clarkson's in
Kevin Sheedy would do it. So they play West Coast Eagles in the final round over there.
Yeah, you don't do it.
No, not doing it there.
Okay. And in round 22, they play the Gold Coast Suns at Marvel Stadium.
He might kick 10.
And this weekend they play the Giants up in New South Wales. So they lose this weekend to the Giants. Maybe it's over. Then maybe he plays the following week.
Right. A couple more observations before we go. Todd Goldstein, where's he going to be next year?
I think North Melbourne.
I'd say North Melbourne.
I think he missed the boat on moving. Dane Zorko's
had a great year, though. A really good year.
Brisbane, again, I can't catch him. But Dane Zorko's hamstring, is it potentially the little curveball?
They're saying 1 to 2.
So it has to
be 2. One means 2 to 3. And if there's any doubt at all, you've got the week off after the finals. So he may not play again until the first week of the finals. That's okay.
We've gone from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4.
Well, it makes sense.
It does.
And we'll have an impact. It will have an impact.
Where will they finish?
He's I think, in the All-Australian team.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's been in the top 4 or 5 players forward to centre. He kicks goals. He defends. He's a really good player. Yeah. Dane Zorko. Jonathan Brown pushing for All-Australian captaincy. I don't know if that'll happen. I think Shannon Hearn has got that if the selectors go back to how they used to pick the captain, which was... Randable. The best captain of that year.
That makes sense.
But then they turned it into a legacy selection and said, righto, buddy, you're captain last year. Buddy. Shannon Hearn was in the team on the halfback flank, was captain of the premiership team.
That didn't make a lot of sense.
So if Gazza makes it, I wouldn't be surprised if they give it to Gazza this year.
Gazza's not making it.
The All-Australian.
Oh, that Scotty. A big finish.
No, he's had a poor, what, 4 or 5?
I don't know, poor. It's interesting.
Average.
His second half of the year hasn't been as good.
No, no doubt, and he's certainly down in goals. But he is actually interesting. His last 5 weeks in tackling, I reckon Gary's about 35 tackles, almost a career high, where he's had 6 or 7 tackles.
Really?
6 tackles per game, which he just hasn't been his strength.
I'm not doubting him,
He hasn't been bad the last...
Well, let's throw up some alternatives. Charlie Cameron.
In.
Yeah, but the last 3 weeks can make a massive difference.
No, I agree with that. Walters.
Tahu's locked. Walters and Charlie Cameron are in.
Those 2 spots.
I'm not arguing with those two.
Look, I don't think they'll fit Patrick Dangerfield in the midfield. I think they'll put Paddy on a half-forward flank. So there's 3.
Yep.
Okay. Jeremy Cameron will be 4.
Well, then you've got Hawkins.
Ben Brown, potentially.
Tom Lynch. Nah.
Give me another medium-sized forward. Or on baller. So
Jack Darling?
Yeah, now Jack Darling. Jack Darling will be in.
Yeah, so. Yep.
So it's going to be pushing.
So Gaz is in a little
bit. And I think Zorko might get in.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good call.
So it might be Zorko and Gaz in that role. But I doubted Gary. I'm not doubting him again.
Oh, no.
I mean, we all like romance. If Cats go all the way and Gaz gets it again,
I can show you one thing. If that happened, and if Gary got in and his team won a premiership, that Gary wouldn't be playing footy ever again.
That's it, absolutely. Retire?
Yeah, he'd retire that night. Yeah.
But if they don't, I think he'll be back. We'll get one
more. Do you really?
Yeah.
He's desperate for, everyone's desperate for a premiership. Yeah.
I was in his presence a couple of weeks ago and he said, I've got to get it through the wife.
Hang on, you're talking like you're in the presence of some otherworldly figure.
I respect the little man. I've got a lot of time for the little man. You get an audience.
He's a likeable bloke, isn't he?
Oh, he's a ripper. Yeah. Always has been. Polite. What's it, Scotty?
Does he call you Scott? Scotty?
I get Scotty. And a shake of the hand.
Ando? Yeah, mate. John or Ando?
I'm John. Yeah.
Or mate?
Used to be mate. But
no, but
John,
he knows your name. He uses it.
Yeah. No, he's a nice fellow.
Every time I've spoken to him, he is a tremendous person.
What I love about Gaz, he beelines to say hello, but then he doesn't want to linger. Because he, he's how are you going?
On,
everything good.
Small talk,
but
then
he's moving on.
Yeah.
In case you actually want something.
I don't know if you're terrific on small talk yourself, John.
No, maybe not.
Oh, look. He makes himself known who he doesn't want a small talk with.
Scotty sits next to
him. Can Brisbane win the flag? Let's finish it on a high.
Okay.
Scotty.
No. I'm slow on this bandwagon, though. I'm putting my hand up. I'm slow on the bandwagon. I don't think they can.
If it was a year where you thought it wasn't great in terms of the opposition, yes. This year, I think that West Coast is at least as good. I think they're better side than last year.
They're better.
And they're better, okay. And because you've got Shepherd and Gaff playing, and Ryan's a better player.
Yeah, Rioli.
Petrocelli's a good player. Yes. Rioli's a better player. And I think Richmond's not going to stuff up like they did last year. So I don't think that allows Brisbane to fluke that one, Robert.
They'll get one home final either the first or the second week. Yeah. So they're going to get a crack at being amongst
them. I wouldn't mind if they did. It'd be a great story, wouldn't it?
So last year we sat here at round whatever we did and we're talking about, that's going to happen and that's going to happen and that's going to happen, and Collingwood come out and pulled Richmond's pants down in the preliminary final. Man, we are on for a wonderful final series.
Can you leave us with your Brisbane prediction, please?
I think Brisbane can make the grand final.
Well, we're on that note. Next week, we'll ask who they're playing. Now it's over to the tab. Jared Daffy. Good afternoon, Jared.
Afternoon, Scotty.
Man, we've got a lot of interesting games. We're getting to the serious stuff. Melbourne v Collingwood at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, under normal circumstances, I would have thought that punters would have dropped right off Melbourne, but that hasn't been the case this week. There's been a pretty good push for them. They were 3.10 on Sunday night. They're into 2.75. In what I must admit is a terrific betting game. The Pies out to $1.45, a couple of question marks on their form. We've got a line there of 14.5 points, but the early activity is for a Melbourne upset.
Wow, that's that. Well, I suppose, Daff, they're going to win one eventually again. The other Saturday afternoon. Yeah, good call. The other Saturday afternoon game, Port Adelaide at home v Sydney. Now, Port, we know they're all over the shop, played well last week, but need this to keep their finals hopes alive.
Look, they do, and punters have reacted here. I guess their destiny is in their own hands here, and the Swans have fallen off the radar somewhat. And Port Adelaide, pretty short, $1.40 on their best form. It's probably over the odds. Sydney at $3 pops to travel across to Adelaide and win there. We've got a line there of 17.5 points.
Well, that's quite tasty. Now, Essendon and the Bulldogs, Marvel Stadium, Saturday night. Major ramifications for the finals.
There is, and we did open the Bulldogs $2 outsiders with Tab with Essendon at 180, but there's been a really, really good rally for the Bulldogs here, so much so that they're currently $1.90 equal favourites. Actually, from what we've seen so far, they may even start favourites in that all-important game on Saturday night, but clearly not much in the betting, and a result either way wouldn't really surprise.
I think their morals, Daff, their pressure and ball movement will catch Essendon. But anyway, we'll move on to the flag. What can you tell us? More action after another round?
Well, we've got equal favourites, and the goalposts on this just move every week. We've got Richmond and West Coast equal favourites now at 3.75. Geelong, they're on the nose with punters. They're out to 4.50, but there's no takers this week. Smaller punters chipping away at Brisbane at the $8. GWS, some support at 10. Collingwood out to 13, no takers. Then we get to the stragglers. Essendon 51, Adelaide Port 81, Western Bulldogs 151. So quite clearly we don't know the makeup of the eight, but not a lot of interest in those roughies anyway. It's just too hard to win from that bottom part of the eight.
Definitely. In the Brownlow, there's been a few changes as well.
There has been. You'd think that Lachie Neal would not have been amongst the vote getters last week, so he's a drifter. 270 out to 350. The big mover has been Nathan Fyfe. He's into $5 equal second pick now with Tim Kelly. Who's a drifter? He's out to $5. Patrick Cripps at $6. Dangerfield, $7. And the other player, well, he's been in the market for many, many weeks now, Scotty. Marcus Bontempelli, he may well have been amongst the votes last week. He's into $10 at $17 or better for the rest. But Lachie Neal, the easing favourite, but good support this week for, well, Nat Follett first at $5 and Bontempelli at $10.
Well, Bontempelli's now leading the coaches' votes. He did get votes this weekend, so that's a good price. Jared, thanks again.
Thanks, Scotty.
That's Round 20 Super Footy Podcast for Tab. Who are you backing? Thank you, gentlemen.